First in news, we're CBS, News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
The time is 10:32, the Mystery Theater in just a minute.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... A candle and it goes out. Hide from the human soul all knowledge of its origins, and still some flicker of instinct will keep the knowledge alive at a level deep beyond the reach of memory. There are truths which survive in us forever, and which we may never know unless one day, by merest chance...
Robert, who was it that called you?
No one.
But I heard the phone ring. You answered it. I could hear your voice. There must have been someone there.
No, there was no one.
You were talking to a dead connection?
Yes. I have to go now, dear.
But where? When will you be back?
I don't know.
Our mystery drama, Family Ties, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Percy Grainger and stars Terry Keane and Russell Horton. It is sponsored in part by Contact, the 12-hour cold capsule. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The Christian Broadcasting Network presents a new kind of TV show that cares about life and people. The 700 Club. Music, news, and interviews with people sharing their dreams and successes. If you're ready for a change, watch the television show that's changing people all across America. The 700 Club. Check your TV listing for time and station.
It's a comfort to know that when you retire, you can count on regular monthly checks if you've worked long enough under Social Security. But it's even more reassuring to know you can also get Social Security payments if you become disabled and can't work for a year or more. To find out more about disability protection, ask any Social Security office for a free copy of the pamphlet, If You Become Disabled.
It's Armstrong's Fall Floor Show Sale Time, a once-a-year sale event that gives you the savings on Armstrong no-wax floors that say, buy now. And right now, a no-wax Armstrong sundial floor for a 9x12 room costs less than $100, installations extra. You save 15% on no-wax studio solarian or royal solarian, too. That's right. Now through October 28th, you can save. And save big on dozens and dozens of selected Armstrong no-wax floor patterns and colors. These floors show values end on October 28th, so don't delay. Visit Des Plaines Tile and Carpet at 720 Lee Street in Des Plaines and Moser Lumber located at North and South Washington Streets in Naperville and Cambridge House at 2732 165th Street in Hammond. Or see their ad in the Chicago Tribune's TV Week for the store offering these Armstrong no-wax sale values that's nearest you.
It is easy to lose perspective on our problems. They have a way of becoming too small or too big. And this, in turn, makes it difficult to know precisely what action to take. Often the hardest thing to do is to admit we have a problem at all. There are those who say if we can recognize a problem, we are halfway to solving it. But sometimes that isn't true. Sometimes that is only the beginning of our troubles.
Mr. Warren?
Lieutenant, what can I do for you?
I'm sorry, Lieutenant.
Yes?
They sent me to see you.
Well, who sent you?
The policeman at the front desk.
Oh, shut the door, please.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now, would you like a chair?
No. Yes. Yes, I will, thank you.
You are in the right place, aren't you?
Is this the Missing Persons Bureau?
Yes.
Well, then, yes, I am. I feel foolish. I didn't know there really were missing persons bureau. I mean, except in the movies.
You have someone who's missing that you want to report?
I think so.
You think so? Either he's missing or he's not, Miss...
Mrs.
Mrs.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mrs. Pendennis. Janet Pendennis.
Mm-hmm. And the person you're reporting?
My husband.
All right.
Well, I thought he was missing, but now that I'm actually here, I'm not so sure. I mean, Robert's not the type of person you think of as missing.
Robert, that's his name?
Yes, but...
Please, Mrs. Pendennis, let's try to keep the momentum going. Description?
I'm not sure I can.
You can't describe your own husband? Why not?
We've been married so long. Is it 15 years?
Uh-huh. Well, perhaps you have a photograph.
Oh, yes. Right here in my purse. He's slight, a receding hairline, dark hair, horn-rimmed glasses,
mm-hmm.
an impeccable dresser.
Yes. Could I see the picture?
Oh, of course. Sorry.
Oh, that's all right. There's nothing to be nervous about. He looks like an accountant.
Yes, that's what he is.
Oh. Well, that answers my next question. Now, what makes you think he's missing?
He hasn't been home for 2 days.
Mm-hmm. And is this unusual?
Well, for Robert it is. I mean, he's always home every night right after work. It's only during tax season that he occasionally has to make trips to work on clients' returns, but he always tells me where he's going and he calls me every night.
Right, and you've heard nothing?
No.
Now, were there any circumstances surrounding his disappearance?
Oh, no, I hope not.
Well, I mean anything unusual that might serve as a clue.
Yes, he hung up the phone and walked out.
Hung up the phone?
And I've got this piece of paper
now,
here.
Now, whoa. Why don't you start at the beginning, Mrs. Pendennis?
About 4 days ago, I began receiving phone calls. Or Robert did, because every time I answered, the party would hang up.
Without speaking to you?
Yes. I thought it was just a crank caller. But this happened several times. Then 2 nights ago, the phone rang again. I was busy, so Robert answered it.
Mm-hmm. Did you overhear any of the conversation?
No, I heard nothing. Several minutes later, I walked into the living room, and he was gone. And for 2 days now, I haven't had any communication with him whatsoever.
Right. Now, you mentioned a piece of paper.
Oh, yes, here. I just discovered it today.
Well, this paper's blank.
No. If you look carefully, you'll notice the pressure of the pen left a clear indentation.
Hmm. Yes, it looks like an address.
It's from the notepad we keep by the phone. I think Robert must have jotted it down as he was speaking.
This is his handwriting?
Yes.
Hmm. Well, could it be the address of one of his tax clients?
Oh, I doubt it. As you can see, the address isn't a very good area of the city because of Robert's family name. His clientele are all pretty fancy.
Hmm. Pendennis. Hmm. Is he related to Jacob Pendennis, the industrialist?
Yes, that was his father.
I remember reading about that case. Pendennis was murdered, wasn't he? And robbed in his own home.
Yes. Robert wasn't quite born at the time. He never knew his father.
Well, I'll go out right away and check on this address, Mrs. Pendennis. With luck, we'll have some word on your husband in a couple of hours.
Who's that?
Lieutenant Warren, police.
What do you want?
Could I speak to you for a moment?
Do you have a search warrant?
Well, no, but that's
Well, then
not...
you can't come in.
The name on the mailbox downstairs says Grady. Is that you?
Yes, Elsa Grady. Am I in trouble?
No, I'm with the Missing Persons Bureau, Mrs. Grady.
Do you want to see my passport? Oh,
no, that's not necessary.
I have it. I could show it to you, but you can't come in.
Do you know a Mr. Robert Pendennis? He's an accountant.
I don't need an accountant.
Here, this is his picture.
Why should I know him?
Well, we have reason to believe he might have come here.
Why would anyone want to come to see me?
Well, I don't know.
I've only got one room here, you see? And it's got my whole life. But you can't come in.
Do you have any relatives, family?
Why?
Well, someone who might be using Mr. Pendennis' services.
No, I have no relatives. I have no family.
Do you go out frequently? Could he have come by while you were out?
I never go out.
Oh, not even to shop?
I never go out. Excuse me, I must go now. You see, I'm going to die soon.
Oh, I'm sorry if I disturbed you, but...
Mrs. Grady?
Yes? Oh, hello, Lieutenant. Come in. Did you find anything?
Oh, I'm afraid not. This address is for a one-room tenement apartment in the South End. It's occupied by an elderly lady, a shut-in.
A shut-in?
Never goes out. Keeps the blinds down, the TV running.
What business could Rob possibly have with a person like that?
Her name is Elsa Grady. Does that name ring a bell?
No.
Well, she said she didn't know your husband, hadn't seen him.
Well, I'm sorry, but I haven't any other evidence to give you.
We'll do all the usual things, check the local hospitals, jails, so forth. Circulate his picture and description.
Is there anything I can do?
Have you got access to his client files?
Yes, he keeps a duplicate set here at home. He often works at night in his study.
Hmm. Well, you could go through those, see if Elsa Grady's name or address appears in any of them. And we'll keep in touch. And, of course, call me immediately if you hear anything.
But even if there were some connection to one of his clients, why would Rob just disappear like this? I mean, without a word. He must know I'm worried. Why hasn't he called? I know something's happened to him, Lieutenant. I know it.
Janet, how good to see you. Come in.
Thank you, Douglas.
Well, to what do I owe the pleasure of this visit? How's Robert?
Well, the answer to the first question is that I don't know the answer to the second.
Oh?
He's vanished.
Vanished?
It's been 3 days now. I haven't heard a word.
How uncharacteristic of him. You didn't have a fight, did you?
No. I've already been to the police.
Yeah, the family's never liked publicity, Janet. You should have come straight to me. I've been the Pendennis family lawyer for 40 years.
Well, that's why I'm here now. The police are no help at all. I want to hire a private investigator.
Can you tell me what happened?
Rob got a phone call and then just disappeared. He wrote down an address.
Oh, have you got that with you?
Yes. Now, the police have already been there. It's a tenement apartment in the South End, occupied by an old woman, a shut-in.
Did Robert know her?
I don't know how or why. Her name is Elsa Grady.
What could a private investigator do?
We'll see if that woman was in some way connected to one of Rob's tax clients.
That could open a real can of worms.
I've looked through the files myself. I didn't see anything. But someone who's trained, maybe.
Well, Rob has a large clientele, Janet. It could get expensive.
I don't care about the expense.
Of course not. But you realize it could also take a good deal of time. To say nothing of possibly violating the client's privileged relationship with Robert.
Douglas, Robert is missing. He might be hurt. He might be in trouble.
Bring the files to my office. Better still, I'll send someone over for them and go through them myself. But I'm sure Robert will turn up soon.
He's not an inconsiderate person.
I have an idea. Why don't we go to this address ourselves?
What's the use?
Well, perhaps the police frightened the old woman. Perhaps if she saw you, the wife, if she did have anything to tell us, she would.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's a good idea. Let's go. Mrs. Grady?
Doesn't seem to be anyone here.
Mrs. Grady? There has to be. Lieutenant Warren said she never went out. Mrs. Grady, please?
Hey, Janet.
Well, the door's open.
You can't go in.
She's not here. Room is a mess. Looks like there's been a fight.
Yeah. Or someone searching for something. Bureau drawers all pulled out. Oh, good Lord.
What?
Nothing.
What's that you found?
But it's just an empty picture frame. It seems to be pure silver's all. An odd thing to find in an apartment like this.
It's beautiful. Something from the past. So sad to think of people growing old. Being alone. What?
On the bed sheets, stains that look like blood.
Douglas, what could have happened? Do you think she's been kidnapped?
Or worse.
Oh,
What's the matter?
Oh, I stepped on something. Douglas.
It's a tie clasp. Do you recognize it?
Yes. I gave this tie clasp to Robert on our last wedding anniversary. You see, it has his initials, RJP. So he was here. But where is he now? And what's happened to that old woman?
What has happened indeed? It is always advisable to end an act with a question or two to ponder during the interval, don't you think? Although Robert has not appeared in our story, I find I formed a very distinct impression of him. Shy, polite, a man of strict habits, altogether not the sort of person to act irresponsibly. So then, just what is going on? The plot will thicken decidedly when I return with Act Two.
There was an accountant named Ned who couldn't account for his bed. While my wife's sound asleep, I lay here counting sheep and wake up with my eyes in the red.
When a mattress is only right for a woman, it's not always right for a man. But the Posture Bond mattress by King Coil is built for a man, firm and durable, with exclusive bonded construction and edges that won't sag. Right for a man, right for a woman, year after year, King Coil.
Take your contact, take it now. Give your cold to contact.
Can your cold medicine fight the congestion, shrink the swollen membranes, help relieve the runny, sneezy, cloggy misery caused by every known cold virus? Are you sure? Contact can. Today's Contact does all that up to 12 hours, all day, all night, no matter what cold virus attacks. That's the wonder of Contact.
Give your cold to contact.
Take only as directed.
Go on, go on.
That's my husband, Charlie, in his football game. If your Charlie's like my Charlie, he'll watch a lot of football this year. And you know I'll see my share of games, too. But there really is more to fall than football. And fortunately, Northwest Federal Savings agrees with me. They're celebrating the football season with gifts everyone can enjoy, whether you're a fan or not. All you do is make a deposit of $250 or more at any Northwest Federal Savings Center, and you get to choose one of many nice gifts free or for special low prices. And because Northwest Federal is open 63 hours a week, there's plenty of time to make a selection. I could have picked a set of Federal glassware, a GE electric knife, or a Better Homes and Gardens cookbook. But you know what I got instead? A beautiful stadium blanket to keep us cozy at the game. You know, Charlie, you're a very lucky guy.
Successful marriages are based on many things: compromise, consideration, caring. There is no reason, thus far at any rate, to think Janet and Robert's marriage was not successful. But then, what was it that lured Robert away from his home late one night, leaving his wife frantic and distraught? Let us return to our story, for it has been said that there is an explanation for everything under the sun.
Robert didn't do anything to that old woman. I'll bet he wasn't even here. Someone planted this pin.
Well, that's possible.
Of course, Robert has been kidnapped. And someone's planning to blackmail him.
No, Janet, you're being exotic.
Am I? There's a great deal of money still in the Pendennis family, isn't there? I'm going to call the police.
Well, of course, you're right, Janet. The police have to be told about this. Come, I'll take you home and then take care of calling Lieutenant Warren. If that's all right with you.
What?
That I'll call the police.
Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Thank you, Douglas. Oh, it's such a relief at a time like this to have someone I can trust.
Mrs. Pendennis.
Hello, Lieutenant.
Well, have you heard from your husband?
No. I came here to make a confession.
A confession?
Yes.
Well, please, shut the door.
Oh. I don't think I did it on purpose. I mean, I wasn't consciously intending to do it. I didn't even realize I still had it in my hand until I got home.
Oh, what are you talking about?
The tie clasp.
Tie clasp?
The one that was in Mrs. Grady's apartment. You were probably wondering what happened to it. Well, here it is. It is Roberts, but I'm sure that he...
Whoa. Now, would you mind taking me back a couple of steps? This was in Grady's apartment? How do you know? How did you get it?
Well, didn't Mr. Jimson tell you?
Who's Mr. Jimson?
Douglas Jimson. He's the Pendennis family lawyer. Didn't he call you?
No.
Well, he said he would. We went to that old woman's apartment. And she's vanished, too.
And you found this tie clasp. These are your husband's initials, R.J.
Yes, Robert Jacob Pendennis. The Jacob was for his father, the one who was murdered by his secretary.
Hmm. Well, what else did you find?
Some blood.
Did you close the door when you left?
Yes.
Well, excuse me, we'd better get down there right away. Oh, what was that lawyer's name?
Douglas Jimson.
Uh-huh. What's the story on him?
Well, he's with an old Boston firm. His reputation is impeccable.
Well, then why do you suppose he didn't call me?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he thought he was protecting Robert, but Robert might be in trouble. I don't believe for one minute he'd hurt an old lady, and I don't think Douglas believes that either.
Well, that brings us back to my original question. Why didn't he call?
I don't know. Robert.
What? Oh. Janet.
Robert, you're home. Are you all right?
Well, sure, honey. I'm fine.
Rob, I've been so worried.
I'm sorry. I tried to call you.
Did you?
Yes, several times. There was never any answer.
Well, I have been out a lot, but I was so concerned. What happened to you?
I've got a client in Dallas, an oil man. He called me, said he's being audited by the government. You know how Texans are. When they yell, you jump.
But you could have told me. What are you doing with your suitcase?
I have to go back.
To Dallas?
Yes, it's going to take longer than I thought, and I needed some things, some stuff for my files.
Did you get what you needed?
Yes. Look, darling, I've just got time to get back to the airport. I'll call you from Dallas.
Your files aren't here.
What?
How could you get something from your files if they aren't here?
What do you mean they're not here?
They're in Douglas Jimson's office.
Oh.
Rob, what is going on?
I told you, I have a client.
You don't have any clients in Dallas. I know, I've been through your files.
Why?
To try to find out what this address meant.
How did you get this?
You wrote it on the notepad by the phone, and it left an imprint.
But then it was you who sent the police there.
Yes, I was worried.
You shouldn't have done that.
So you were there. The tie clasp wasn't planted. You were there the whole time?
I have got to go, Janet.
Where?
Please, I don't have much time.
Rob, what is the matter? What is going on?
I can explain everything, but not now. There isn't time. I shouldn't have come home at all.
Are you in trouble?
No, I'm okay, really. That you have got to promise me that you will stay away from the police. Don't go to them anymore.
Why?
I am your husband. The police mustn't be brought into this.
Is someone after you?
Please, listen to me. Did you say you told Douglas about this?
He seemed the logical person to turn to.
When you went to that apartment, did he go with you?
Yes.
And you went in? You looked around?
Yes.
How did he react?
What do you mean?
Did he say anything?
No.
You're sure?
He told me he would take care of calling the police, but he never did.
Ah. That's it. You mustn't see him again.
Why not?
It's not safe.
Rob, he's like part of the family.
I have got to go now. Will you trust me?
I don't.
Please.
Are you all right?
Yes, it's just something that's come up that I have to do.
How long?
A few days at the most, and I'll be back, I promise.
And then you can tell me what's going on?
Yes. If what I think is going to happen does, I can tell you everything.
Lieutenant.
May I come in?
What do you want?
Well, we've just finished our search of the apartment. I thought you might like to know what we found. May I come in?
Oh, yes, of course. I'm sorry.
Are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine.
This case has taken a rather curious turn, Mrs. Pendennis. I'm going to have to ask you some questions about your husband's family.
I'll try to be of what help I can. Did you find out what happened to that woman?
Not yet, but we found out who she is.
Her name is Elsa Grady?
No, it isn't. Her name is Shelley Malone.
Shelley Malone? But that's the woman who killed Robert's father, the secretary.
That's right. Did your husband ever say anything to you about Shelley?
Well, he told me the story of the murder case, but that was all.
Mm-hmm. He never expressed any feelings about her?
He would never talk about it.
Do you think he harbored a hatred of her?
You mean it enough to take revenge?
Yes.
No. Robert wouldn't do something like that. He couldn't.
Well, people are known to do exceptional things when family ties are involved, especially an old family like the Pendennises.
But all of this happened before Robert was even born. He never knew this woman. He never even knew his father. I think he always felt very, very removed from the whole thing.
Perhaps. But his mother was fanatical on the subject. She tried for years to track Shelley Malone down. There's even evidence that she made it known she'd be willing to pay to have Shelley killed.
Mrs. Pendennis was a very unstable woman, Lieutenant, especially in her last years.
Still, it's possible that these feelings she transmitted to her son. As I recall the story, Shelley Malone was Jacob Pendennis' secretary for about 7 years, and then in January of 1938, he fired her.
Yes.
Do you know the reason?
I'm not sure. I think it was a question of her competence.
Mm-hmm. Shelley was known as something of a hothead. After she was let go, she was heard to threaten her former employer's life.
Well, that was the Depression years. It must have been a terrible time to be out of work.
Yes, but Jacob Pendennis was murdered several months later. Mrs. Pendennis went into his study and caught Shelley there, rifling his safe. Her husband was slumped over his desk, stabbed to death. Is that right?
Yes. No. Douglas Jimson was with her, with Mrs. Pendennis.
Jimson again. So he was involved in this, huh?
I believe both he and Mrs. Pendennis testified at the inquest. He was a young lawyer then. He'd just been hired by the family. He was at the house on business, and Mrs. Pendennis was showing him into her husband's study.
And that's how they came on Shelley?
Yes. She fled before either of them could recover enough to stop her.
And she was never found, never brought to trial. The case was closed. Until now.
Do you really suspect Robert of doing something to her?
That's how it looks. Frankly, what other business could he have with her?
But how did he find her?
Who knows? A good private detective, a willingness to keep at it, to pay whatever was necessary?
Lieutenant, Robert was here.
When?
Less than an hour ago, when I came home from the police station.
Well, where is he now?
I don't know. I caught him by surprise. He was packing a suitcase.
Well, didn't you try to stop him?
Yes, but I didn't know.
Well, did he admit to going to Shelley's apartment?
Yes.
So he was probably there when I came to the door. That explains the fear in Shelley's voice when I talked to her. That's what she was trying to tell me.
What?
Well, she kept saying I couldn't come in, almost as if she wanted me to contradict her. And then, as I was leaving, she told me she was going to die. She was trying to alert me, and I just wrote it off to the craziness of an old shut-in. After your husband left, why didn't you call the police?
He asked me not to.
Mrs. Pendennis, we are talking about a possible murder charge.
Yes, I know. But he said he could explain what was happening.
Did he?
No. He said he would when he came back in a few days.
A few days?
He promised.
Mrs. Pendennis, I'm afraid it's very possible we may never see your husband again.
We begin with an event, a man's disappearance, and build on that. Complications are added that change the direction of the story. Characters who seemed bad turn out to be good, or vice versa. Gradually, for the persons at the center of the drama and the audience, the world begins to take on the aspect of a gigantic illusion. Where does the truth lie? And when is a lie the truth? The answers would seem to hang suspended somewhere between Lieutenant Warren's persistence and Janet Pendennis' instincts. We will find out precisely where when I return with our final act.
Roto-Rooter presents The Raving. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded in the hushing, suddenly there came a rushing as of someone slowly flushing water across my chamber floor. Only this and nothing more. Eagerly I wished the morrow. Vainly I had sought to borrow plungers to relieve my sorrow, mops to dry the soggy floor. I slowed it down and nothing more. Ankle deep in water, standing long, I stood there wheezing, panting, weeping, cursing curses that no mortal ever cursed before. As the mess was slow subsiding, my thoughts were strong to go arriving to dry my troubled clothes, perhaps to find a liquor store. I jumped astride my motor scooter. A big black bird screamed, "Roto-Rooter!"
And away go troubles down the drain.
Ah, yes, Roto-Rooter, why didn't I think of that before? There more comfort, never more. Thank you.
Roto-Rooter Sewer Service. When you get the fever to fly, Delta Airlines is ready. Mention Atlanta and watch Delta move with 8 non-stops a day. 2 are wide-ride tri-stars, and you've got 6 one-stop through jets every day. You can make Delta-to-Delta connections in Atlanta to all the major cities in the Southeast, too. Or catch the Delta action to Nashville. 3 non-stops a day, the most going, and 3 non-stops coming back. So commuting to Nashville on Delta is easy. Delta has more going for you to New Orleans, too. 4 non-stops. 4 one-stop through jets plus other flight times round the clock. You'll like the admission prices, too. Low super saver fares to Atlanta, Nashville, New Orleans, and to all Delta cities in the country. Save you a bundle of money. There are 30-day advance purchases and other qualifications, and seats are limited. So when you get the fever, call Delta Airlines or your travel agent. And fly. Delta is ready when you are. This is WBBM Chicago News Radio 78.
It takes 9 months to create a man, said Pascal, and a lifetime to know him. And sometimes, we might add, not even then. For before whom do we really stand revealed? Janet Pendennis might have wished for a bit more revelation from her husband before his second disappearance, for now she finds herself the wife of a suspected murderer.
You're accusing Robert of killing that old woman?
I'll have to ask that a warrant be issued for his arrest. And I'd appreciate it if you do me a favor. Don't call Douglas Jimson.
Why not?
I'm going over to see him now. Now that we know who the old woman is, I'm more curious than ever why he didn't call the police. Anyone else still living who worked for Jacob Pendennis?
Well, his business manager was a man named Gilbert Klieg. I believe Douglas mentioned recently that he's living north of here in Gloucesterville.
Mm. Well, thank you. I know this isn't easy, and I appreciate your cooperation. If it's any consolation, homicide will be coming onto the case now. If nothing else, that increases our chances of finding your husband. Tell me, Mr. Jimson, are you still retained by the Pendennis family?
Oh, not really, no. Yeah, I do occasional legal work for them, but I'm more retired than not.
Mm-hmm. Sir, you were a witness to Jacob Pendennis' murder, weren't you?
Jacob? Yes. Oh, not to the actual murder itself, no. Mrs. Pendennis and I came upon the scene minutes too late to prevent it, but what does all that have to do with Robert?
Well, I'm just trying to figure this out. That murder received a lot of press. Jacob Pendennis was a distinguished man. It's an old Boston family. The police were obliged to do their best to find the woman who was accused of... What was her name?
Malone, I believe. Shelley Malone.
Yes. Yes, the biggest manhunt in Boston's history couldn't locate her, and yet now, nearly 40 years later, she suddenly surfaces. And right here in Boston.
Really? You mean she's still alive?
How, Mr. Jimson? Who found her?
I don't know.
Was it you?
I'm afraid I don't really know what you're getting at, Lieutenant.
You went to her apartment with Janet Pendennis.
Yes.
And?
She wasn't there. Neither was Robert.
You told Mrs. Pendennis not to call the police, that you'd take care of doing it.
I see.
And you want to know why I didn't call? My first responsibility is to my clients, Lieutenant, to protect them.
Sir, 2 minutes ago you told me the Pendennises were no longer your clients.
Well, Lieutenant, are you trying to implicate me in all this?
You knew it was Shelley Malone's apartment.
Yes, but not before I went there. I had no idea that she was still living.
How did you find out it was her apartment?
By a silver picture frame on the bureau. I remember Jacob had given it to her that Christmas.
What about the phone calls?
What phone calls?
The ones Janet answered when the other party hung up. The one Robert answered just before he vanished.
I know nothing about them, Lieutenant, I assure you.
Your assurances aren't worth a great deal to me, Mr. Jimson. As far as I'm concerned, you're an accomplice in this whole business.
A suspected accomplice. And anyway, what business?
Shelley Malone's abduction and possible death. Are you really that keen on revenge after all these years?
No.
How much money did she steal?
I just remember the exact amount, a few thousand dollars perhaps. Hardly enough to warrant the kind of fanatical activity you're trying to lay at my doorstep.
We need to talk to anyone else who might still be alive, who was part of the Pendennis household at that time.
Well, I'm afraid you're out of luck there. Everyone's gone, except me.
Well, what about Gilbert Klieg? According to Janet, he's living in Glosterville.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Oh, that's interesting, Mr. Jimson. Since you're the one who told her.
Lieutenant, you spoke to Shelley Malone, didn't you? When you went to her apartment the first time.
Yes.
What was your impression of her?
Why?
Well, she was addled, you know. Always. Jacob treated her with every kindness, but she was prone to bizarre fantasies. It finally forced Jacob to let her go.
Are you telling me she was crazy?
Well, I hate to use labels.
And you have a particular fantasy in mind you want to tell me about?
No.
I see. Just planting the seed for later, then, isn't it? In case she has something she wants to tell us? Good day, Mr. Jimson.
Yes?
Janet Pendennis?
Yes.
Robert's wife? My name is Gilbert Klieg. I worked for Robert's father at one time. I was his business manager.
Oh, yes. Please come in.
Thank you. I hope I'm not disturbing you.
Oh, no. I'm very glad. Please forgive the house. Forgive my appearance.
Oh, I understand. I've heard about Robert's disappearance. I gather the police suspect Robert of possibly hurting Miss Malone. So I thought it might be important to come to see you.
Yes?
You see, I always had my doubts whether it really was Sherry who killed Jacob.
Why?
Well, shortly after she was dismissed, I was going over the accounts, and I came up $8,500 short. I pointed this out to Jacob. He was very meticulous about money. He had to be in those times. But this didn't bother him. Told me to just credit it to his miscellaneous account.
That's a fair amount of money.
Yeah. And after his death, when Shelley was accused of robbing him as well, the amount in question was just that. $8,500.
It sounds like Jacob gave her the money.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you mention this at the time?
Well, I wanted to check through the books again. Before I could, I was let go.
By Mrs. Pendennis?
Yeah.
You think Shelley was framed?
Possibly. But the question then is why Jacob gave her the money at all.
Could Shelley have been blackmailing him?
No. Shelley wasn't that kind of person. For all her wildness, she wasn't a criminal.
Yet she was accused of murder.
Yeah. By Mrs. Pendennis and Douglas Jimson. Tell me, Janet, how did Robert find Shelley?
I don't know. There was a phone call, a number of phone calls, but when I answered, the person hung up.
I see. I think it was Shelley herself made those calls.
Shelley? Why?
I have an idea where they might be. It's a long shot, but if you're up to a drive, we could go there together.
Oh, Mr. Cleek, I'm so nervous and worried I'll go anywhere.
The place I have in mind is Dennis Wood, up the main coast.
The old Pendennis summer estate?
Mm-hmm. It's secluded, private.
Robert, when he left, he took a heavy top coat and gloves. It would be getting cold up there this time of year. But then you don't think Shelley's dead?
No. I got a different idea. But we can talk on the way up.
We can take my car. Just give me a minute to run upstairs and throw some things in a travel bag. I'm ready, Mr. Cleek. I'm sorry I kept you
That's perfectly all right, Janet.
Douglas.
It gave me a chance to catch up with you. Has Robert contacted you yet?
No.
Are you telling me the truth? You know nothing?
Where's Mr. Cleek?
Well, you could see he's gone.
What have you done to him?
I told him Robert had been found, that I was here to take you down to police headquarters.
You've done something terrible, haven't you? Why didn't you call the police? You don't want them to find Rob. You want him to kill Shelley because she knows the truth.
That's right. She knows the truth.
She didn't kill Jacob, did she?
No.
What have you done? What are you trying to cover up?
Cleek thinks Robert might be at Dennis Wood. That's as good a gamble as any.
You're going up there?
Yes. With you?
No.
I have a gun with me, Janet. And it is quite imperative that I get to Robert before the police do.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
Did you kill Robert's father?
No. But I might as well have.
Who did?
Mrs. Pendennis.
His wife?
She confessed to me. I didn't ask her to. I didn't want her to.
Shelley was innocent. And for 40 years she's been living in hiding. Did you see how she was living?
Mrs. Pendennis was willing to pay a great deal of money for someone to corroborate her story. I was young. It's no excuse. My career has been beyond reproach, except for that one mistake.
One mistake? You could have put an end to it any time you wanted.
I know. But out of sight, out of mind. Oh, that's terrible, I realize, but that's how it is. I figured Shelley had got off somewhere, made a fresh start, a decent life for herself. I never dreamed that she was still in Boston.
But why? Why did Mrs. Pendennis kill her husband?
I can't tell you that. Not yet.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. Will you stop asking me that?
Kill Robert? Kill me?
I have a gun. I can't use it. I don't know how. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Where's the house?
Yes, there's the light on. One of the downstairs rooms.
Someone is here. What? It's Rob. I can see him through the window. Oh, no.
What?
Shelley is with him. She's lying on the sofa. He's about to smother her. Robert! John! Don't stop!
Shelley!
Oh, Robert, what have you done?
Please, don't yell.
Is she dead?
Yes, she just passed away.
Oh, it looked like you were trying to smother her.
I was pulling the sheet up to cover her face.
Oh, Rob, what's the matter? You're crying.
That's because Shelley Malone was his mother.
What?
That's right. She and Jacob had an affair. And she was dismissed because she was pregnant. Jacob thought by giving her a large sum of money, it would discharge his obligation. But after Robert was born, she came back to see him. She hoped that by showing him his son, she might persuade him to leave his wife. Instead, Mrs. Pendennis discovered them, and when she learned the truth, she stabbed Jacob. Shelley fled, and Robert was left behind. Under the pretext of grieving for Jacob's death, Mrs. Pendennis went into seclusion for a number of months, and when she emerged, Robert was her child, and her place in the lucrative bosom of the Pendennis family was insured.
And Robert never knew?
No. No, I was given the job of destroying the real birth records and seeing that new ones were forged.
Oh, Robert, are you all right?
She wouldn't even let me take her to a hospital. She was coughing up blood. We both knew she was dying, but she was still afraid she might be arrested.
Then it was Shelley who called you.
Did you realize I knew who it was? I suspected the whole truth the minute I heard her voice, even before she told me. I'd seen her face before, you know. She watched me grow up. She followed me, even though every time she went out, she was terrified she might be caught, and no one would believe her. Do you know what courage it took for her to call me?
No, Robert, I don't. I can only imagine.
It is said that the mind registers impressions from the very moment of birth, that these impressions are stored away and never lost, and that under extraordinary circumstances, they may be retrieved. All his life, Robert had carried within him the knowledge of his true origins, but only at the last possible moment had this truth revealed itself. I'll return with a final word in a few moments.
Why didn't I say goodbye? I love you. Have a happy day today. Thanks again for being my friend.
Some things we just don't say.
You never knew of the girl I loved. I didn't think he'd understand. I couldn't see. He must have felt the same.
When first he held my mind.
I'd seen in a vision or a dream how I'd miss him so. When he had to go, how do I let him know?
If you love him, tell him. You're not as far apart as you think. A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons.
Given a small, dignified burial. For his part in the crime, Douglas Jimson was disbarred for life and sent to jail for a number of years. As for Janet and Robert, people say they don't know a couple more devoted to the care and raising of their own children. Our cast included Russell Horton, Terry Keene, and Ray Owens. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Now, a preview of our next tale.
Now you know.
I know nothing. What I saw was a handsome young gentleman, his hands crossed on his cane, dressed in fine old-fashioned clothes. I was surprised when he left the pew.
No one else saw him.
What? Oh, but he was as plain as day.
To you and to me. Not to anyone else. To them, he was invisible. You must not tell anyone.
Is this the horror that you said you and I would share?
Yes. You're the only person in the world who could see him.
And you, Mrs. Marsden? Oh,
me, of course.
What does it mean?
It's my curse.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our mystery theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Now, but somebody is sneaking up on you.
Old Man Winter, reaching out to grab you in his icy grip, to freeze your toes and chill your bones and cast his gloomy spell of dreary days and bitter nights. He's coming closer, closer. Don't just sit there. Escape. Fly away on Delta Airlines to the barefoot life in Florida. Dig your toes in the warm sand of Florida's great beaches. Feel the tropical sunshine easing your tensions away. Come all the way alive. Escape. Delta has 15 nonstops every day to Florida's resorts, with deluxe dining and champagne and tourists. Wide ride super jets, too. And low gotta go super saver fares. Call your travel agent. The time to plan your Florida escape is now. Hurry. Delta is ready when you are.
This is WBBM Chicago. CBS News, the head of the nation's central bank, hints at even tighter money in the days ahead in his agency's own war against inflation. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The chairman of the Federal Reserve Board has promised his agency will take what he called a prudent role in tightening credit. From Washington, George Herman has a report.
The administration boasted the day after the president's speech that the Federal Reserve Board was going to play a coordinated role in the fight against inflation. Board Chairman G. William Miller agreed, possibly a bit more enthusiastically than the administration would like.
We will use our full resources to play a prudent role in drying up the inflationary pressures. We will assure that from a monetary point of view, we take the necessary medicine to cure the disease now so that we can avoid later more serious maladies.
The administration line seemed to be that Miller might now relax some of his tight grip on the money supply, ease up on interest rates, since his monetary policy was no longer the only weapon being leveled against inflation. But Miller's language clearly implied that some more of his bitter medicine may be needed and that the dosage will certainly not be reduced for a while. George Herman, CBS News, Washington.
The U.S. dollar continues to fall sharply on the Tokyo foreign exchange. In Thursday morning's trading, the American currency reached another post-war low, falling nearly 2 yen to 178.5 yen. More news in a moment.
This is us.
Now you can do all your Christmas shopping the easy way through the JCPenney Christmas Catalog. Over 500 pages with thousands of gift ideas, house gifts, and gifts that entertain. All the toys you've heard about and all the latest fashions. Everything you need this Christmas you'll find in the JCPenney Christmas Catalog.
This is JCPenney.
Hi there, everyone. This is Jack Buck for Hank Stram. Well, something new. NFL Thursday Night Football coming up this Thursday from Irving, Texas. That means the Dallas Cowboys. They'll be taking on the Minnesota Vikings. Hank and I will be on hand for the CBS Radio Network at 8:20 Eastern Time. Tune us in, Minnesota and the Cowboys.
You bet we will, Jack, tomorrow night at 8:20 on most of these stations of CBS, your number one radio network for news, programs, and sports.
Some departures are now being permitted at Chicago's O'Hare Airport, which was closed to outgoing traffic Wednesday night. Officials said the main computer at Chicago's traffic control center became jammed up with information. Many planes heading for Chicago were diverted to other airports, including those in Detroit and Cleveland, and those facilities were reported to be filling up fast. The Canadian government has taken strong action to end the strike by 23,000 postal workers. A report from Bill McLaughlin in Toronto.
The Canadian postal strike is over, and the workers were literally scared back to their jobs. Last week, their union legally decided to call a strike because of a breakdown in contract negotiations with the government. But before it knew what hit it, the union was in big trouble. First, the Canadian Parliament, prodded by Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau, passed a law forbidding the postal workers to go on strike. Then the government informed all the striking workers that they might be fired if they didn't go back to work by midnight Wednesday night. And in the day of Wednesday, to prove its toughness, the government ordered the Royal Canadian Mounted Police to raid union offices in several cities, and five union leaders were also arrested. Wednesday night, well before the deadline, the workers voted to go back to work. Bill McLaughlin, CBS News, Toronto.
A young tightrope walker fell 25 feet from a circus high wire in Boston Wednesday night. He escaped death due to a circus helper on the ground who broke his fall. 16-year-old Luis Posse of the Ringling Brothers Circus was taken to a hospital for x-rays, and a spokesman said it's thought his condition will be good. In Cairo, the semi-official newspaper Al-Haram says Egyptian authorities have uncovered a secret organization of communists working to overthrow President Sadat. 42 persons were arrested. Now this.